Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Tomorrow marks 1 year since gas explosions created havoc in three Merrimack Valley communities.
A neighbor of mine, their house blew up in smoke in front of their faces.
First two apartments, all their stuff was destroyed.
It's kind of like a war zone all of a sudden. Last night, my little daughter, she was scared to death.
My friend's house burnt down. So we're devastated.
Gas explosions in Andover, Lawrence, and North Andover set off over 120 fires, damaged dozens of homes, and forced thousands to evacuate. It also caused over 20 injuries and the death of 18-year-old Lionel Rondon. On Radio Boston today and tomorrow, we're speaking with residents, lawmakers, and the president of Columbia Gas 1 year later. We start with Dean Thornhill, a North Andover resident and homeowner whose home caught on fire due to the explosions. He recounts the day it happened.
It was a beautiful September day. Nothing really going on, and discovered my basement was totally on fire.
Oh, my gosh. How?
Well, we have a family room that has had a gas stove, and it looked like it was a blowtorch. So I knew there was a lot of gas coming in the house. I didn't know why, so I shut that off and then went down to my basement. And by the time I got back down there, and I was down there four or five minutes before, nothing was going on. Half the basement was on fire.
Is everyone okay? Was anyone harmed?
No, everybody was fine.
Good, I'm glad. And did you lose a good deal of your house? What were the damages like?
We haven't been in our house since September 13th. It's still under repair.
So you've physically been in it, but you're not living? You're still a year later. You're not living in your house.
Can't live in it, right.
Where are you living?
In an apartment in North Andover.
So what has happened in the year since that you're not back in your house yet?
Well, you know, construction delays, waiting for insurance money. You know, there's always something that you have to wait on.
Is insurance covering your home repairs, Dean?
So far, yes. There's been some discussion about certain things they don't want to cover. For instance, the siding on the house, they wanted to pay for siding on two sides.
Did you have to pay for the vinyl siding on the other two sides of the house?
So far, yes, it's our responsibility.
Do you mind telling me how much out-of-pocket expense you've incurred over the last year?
I say it would be close to $30,000.
Wow.
And some of those with changes that we wanted to make, but things like the siding. The siding alone is another $11,000. That wasn't, you know, we feel as though that we should get paid for that, but right now it's still being negotiated.
So, Dean, as your home gets rehabbed, are you using gas to heat it and run your appliances when you're back in, or have you rethought how you're going to heat and use your appliances?
Well, we rethought it. But there will be a regulator on it. We're going to make sure we have gas detector meters everywhere there's a gas line. And with the regulator outside, you know, I think we'll be okay because about a year before, they came and they put all new gas lines in down the street. And they put all meters outside, but they kept us at low pressure and they didn't put a regulator on the house. And if they would have spent a little bit of extra money and put the regulator on, we wouldn't be talking right now. We would still be in our home.
So, Dean, how about Columbia Gas? One, have you been in contact with them? And, you know, two, have they been helpful? Have they compensated you financially?
The only contact I had with anybody from there was when they put these big poles in front of the gas meters. And those were just people that do those type of things. I mean, I haven't heard from anybody in the, you know, on the executive side of things, the people that actually you would think would send a letter or make a phone call and say, gee, we're sorry this happened.
Dean, you filed a lawsuit against Columbia Gas. Is that correct?
I did.
And how is that progressing?
Well, I'm not too thrilled with that either because somehow, and I'm not quite sure how, we were lumped into the class action suit. But I just don't see how that's going to work out. first of all, it's not enough money to cover everybody in the Merrimack Valley, I don't think.
You're referring, I think, and I want to make sure I'm right about this, to the settlement in July that Columbia Gas made with an all-class action suit to pay $143 million to homeowners and residents who suffered losses. Is that right?
That's right.
And you're concerned that $143 million is not enough?
Oh, I don't think it's close to enough because, first of all, attorney fees are 33%. So now you're down to 90-something, $96 million. Then there'll be fees, for people to administer money and sort that all up. And who knows what that is. And from what I'm told, there's 150,000 residents eligible and 10,000 businesses. So I don't know how in the world, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know how in the world that's enough money.
Dean, we're going to be speaking with Mark Kempick, the head of Columbia Gas, later today. Is there anything you'd want to say or ask him?
Well, it's been said by Columbia Gas, NiSource, all the elected officials, that everybody would be made whole. So I would just ask him, is he going to make my family whole?
What would it take to make your family whole, Dean?
It's hard to say. But I know whatever this ends up to be, we've been out of our home for over a year. Every single day, we spend hours of our time trying to figure out how to get back into our home.
And when do you think you'll be back home again?
I really don't know.
Let's turn now to the president and chief operating officer of NiSource's Columbia Gas of Massachusetts, Mark Kempick. Kempick became president in May this past year, but he's been a part of the recovery since last September. He's out in the Merrimack Valley today, and we asked him how he thinks the recovery is going 1 year later.
Yes, the recovery is going very well. Thank you for that question. I have been up here since last September, so I have seen firsthand all the work that has been done and all the interactions with the community. So the work that we did in phase one, we completed nearly all of the installations of the heating equipment, but we still had some of those to do, so we did those in phase two. We announced earlier this summer that out of the remaining 800 or so heating units, we have completely installed all the heating units. So now every customer has a nice new heating unit, as well as the other gas-using appliances that we installed during phase one prior to the end of 2018. This complements the pipe that we replaced in the street, as well as the settlements that we reached with the communities so that all the streets can be repaired on the community schedules.
So in July, Columbia Gas settled an all-class action lawsuit with the Commonwealth for $143 million. That's still awaiting approval. Before that, the company reached an $80 million settlement with three communities. There's a lot of need out there. What do you say to people in these communities who are wondering about that settlement and how much of that is going to affect their lives and ease their needs after the explosion?
So the $143 million settlement is actually a class action settlement with all of the residential and business customers across the three communities. But until it's approved by the courts, the customers can continue to call our claim center number and address any outstanding claims that they might have. But then once the class action settlement is approved by the court, the class action lawyers will handle the claims as an independent third party, separate and apart from Columbia Gas of Massachusetts. On the second settlement, the $80 million settlement that we agreed to earlier this year with the municipalities, that addresses all of the municipal claims that they had against Columbia Gas regarding the September 13th incident, as well as the cost to restore the streets.
So we spoke earlier this morning with Dean Thornhill. He's a North Andover homeowner who's still out of his house a year later, and we asked him what he would ask you if given the chance, and here's what he said.
It's been said by Columbia Gas, NiSource, all the elected officials, that everybody would be made whole. So I would just ask him, is he going to make my family whole?
So how would you answer Dean Thornhill and other families who may have the same question for you, Mark?
Yes, I would encourage Mr. Thornhill to give me a call directly, and we can address any concerns that he has. As I mentioned, we do have a class action settlement that is going through the courts for approval, but until that time, Columbia Gas continues to work with all of our customers who have claims against us, and we will work through each individual customer really on a custom basis because everyone's claim is different and unique to that particular customer.
Mark, how would somebody like Dean Thornhill get in touch with you directly?
They can call through our claim center, and ask for me.
And they'll be able to get through to you?
Yes. I know the people in the claim center. I know the leadership in the claim center. And so I would encourage him to do that.
Let's talk safety and infrastructure for a minute. The National Transportation Safety Board hasn't filed their final report on the incident, but they identified that it was a Columbia Gas contract crew who was upgrading the system in Lawrence who caused the incidents. Workers failed to realize that pressure sensors were active in the old pipe. It forced gas into the region's lines. What has changed about your maintenance or upgrade processes in the last year as a result of the explosion?
We've learned a lot from last year's incident, and some of the things that we learned and that we are advancing are things like installing automatic shutoff valves. These are really interesting, very, very safe devices that we install in a regulator station, and it provides protection from either overpressurization or underpressurization to every customer served downstream of that low-pressure regulator station. The beauty about these devices is that they will automatically trip off, just like a circuit breaker does in your house, if it senses some problem. In addition, we've adopted a safety management system, which is a set of processes and even an organizational structure that looks at safety from a different perspective. It's a continuous improvement strategy, and the airline industry and the nuclear industry have used these for years. We've adopted it, and we will be leaders in Columbia Gas of Massachusetts in adopting it and applying it to our daily work. What this means is we will be in a continuous improvement mode, so it's a lot more engagement with the public. There will be a lot more checklists. There will be a lot more safety checks. There'll be a lot more compliance checks that we will do with the public just to make sure that we're continuing to improve everything we do, continuing to improve the safety as well as the service to all of our customers.
What had kept you from installing those valves prior to the explosion?
So the automatic safety valves are not a standard technology. They're above and beyond what utilities have historically done. And they're a rather new technology to the United States. Not every utility uses them, but we wanted to bring them to the United States and install those and really go above and beyond.
So is that the kind of thing that should become an industry standard at this point, now that the technology exists and you've learned in this particular instance that you want them in place after this explosion?
I can't really speak towards the other utilities, but for our company across our entire Massachusetts footprint, as well as our entire service territory across the other states, we are looking at installing those in every possible application.
Let's stay with pipeline replacement for a minute. The explosion was the result of replacing old pipelines. Since the disaster, 44 miles of gas main lines and more than 5,000 service lines have been replaced. We have some old pipe in New England, some of the oldest in the nation. How would you characterize the condition of the rest of Columbia's gas's pipes in the region at this point?
As you probably know, Columbia Gas in Massachusetts, as well as our sister companies, embarked on a very aggressive pipeline replacement program in about 2007 and 2008. We realized at that point that the pipes were reaching the end of their useful life, and we wanted to get ahead of that. Since that time, we've replaced hundreds of miles of pipe in Massachusetts, and we still have more to go. We're about halfway through what was at that point a 20-year program, so we have about another 10 years to go, and we have really made a dent in the amount of what we call first-generation pipe across the entire state of Massachusetts.
Let's talk about corporate culture, Mark. In the months after the explosion, the company was blasted by lawmakers for its internal culture. Senator Ed Markey said, quote, "A corporate culture where cutting corners on staffing and safety measures led to the death of one young man and billions of dollars in damage to our Merrimack Valley," end quote. And he went on to say, quote, "The solution isn't one executive leaving, but rather a wholesale change in corporate culture," end quote. So how have you addressed the corporate culture at Columbia Gas in Massachusetts since arriving? What have you changed?
Corporate culture is very important. I do agree with that. And I would say that our corporate culture has always valued safety as a value, not as a priority, because priorities do change, but as a value. We will continue, as I said earlier, through our safety management system and our continuous improvement to drive that concept through new employees and to continue to encourage employees to speak up and to raise issues without fear of retaliation. We want to learn from each other.
Mark, let's talk about regulation. At the time of the explosion, senators criticized the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, saying, you know, you're not introducing more safety regulations, you need to do more. The administration, the regulators pushed back, saying there's not a lot we can do because of a provision in what's called the Natural Gas Pipeline Safety Act that requires consideration of cost versus benefits. The act is up for renewal at the end of the month. Do you think it should be updated based on the pushback regulators were saying about, you know, instituting new standards?
I've been working in the regulated industry for 40 years, and I fully understand the importance of having a robust discussion with our elected officials, with our regulators, and really with the public as well. And I believe that we will continue the discussion on the Pipeline Safety Act, as well as any renewals that are necessary. So I have a very good feelings about the future of the act.
Mark, Columbia Gas announced today compliance checks on 700 previously abandoned service lines in the Merrimack Valley. Why do those compliance checks, and how is that going to work?
Sure thing. As I mentioned before, we adopted a safety management system, which in its heart is a continuous improvement process. So as part of our continuous improvement and part of our safety management, we started to look at all the records that we had with regards to the service lines that were abandoned last fall. Now, again, what the abandonment word means is that the line was taken out of gas service, all the gas was purged out of that, and the lines were capped.
Was that in compliance, that process of doing that? Were those lines done in compliance at that time?
And that's what we're looking at right now. The lines, we know they were taken out of service, but there are, in Massachusetts, there are certain compliance requirements that go above and beyond simply taking the gas out of service. So what we want to do is to look to make sure that on those abandoned services, we've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's on the Massachusetts compliance regulations. This does not impact the service the customers are currently receiving through their brand new facilities we installed last fall. This is regarding the abandonment of the old facilities that are no longer in service.
Okay, Mark, so it is 1 year later since the Merrimack Valley gas explosion. Can the public trust Columbia Gas to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again?
Yes, yes. And I realize that a lot of the public is still growing through that trust. But we are here. We're going to commit to staying here, to engaging with the customers, to answer any questions that they have, and to address their concerns and address their needs. The compliance review that you mentioned earlier is really an effort to help prove to customers that we are doing everything we possibly can to provide them with that safe, reliable service. And we will continue to engage in other ways as well on a going forward basis to re-earn that trust that we know we've shaken in a lot of our customers in their minds, in their hearts.
That is Mark Kempick. He's the president of Columbia Gas of Massachusetts. Mark, thanks for joining us here on Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
We also heard from Dean Thornhill, a North Andover resident and homeowner whose home caught on fire due to the explosions. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, we'll continue our discussions with residents and community members of the Merrimack Valley on the one-year anniversary of the gas explosions. For now, stay with us. Coming up, best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell on his new book, Talking to Strangers, What We Should Know About the People We Don't Know. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.